Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ as we celebrate this Sunday, which is our last Sunday of our church year. We begin a new church year next Sunday on the first Sunday of Advent. And so we're blessed to be together this morning. We have a big, big, huge, amazing, magnificent God. He's so big. And he's so in control, and he still loves you, and he loves me. And he shows us that love. And on the last Sunday of the church year, we hear texts from our readings that are about the end of days, about the culmination of all things. And those texts are at times serious. And as believers, we have the blessing of knowing that there's only good to come for us, because of our Lord Jesus and what he's accomplished. So it's in that spirit this morning that we celebrate the last Sunday of the church here and that we enjoy the fellowship that he gives us together. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, thanks for tuning in, or online later, thanks for watching. Our service begins this morning with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 905 in your hymnal. Come Thou Almighty King. And we do invite you to stand on the last verse of that hymn this morning. Let's sing together. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 39 and 2 Peter 3. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. We continue with our Kyrie spoken this morning. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your glorious return, we may persevere in both faith and holiness of living. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning, the last Sunday of the church year, comes from Isaiah in his prophecy, chapter 51, verses 4 to 6. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading this morning from Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson from the book of Jude, verses 20 to 25. But you know, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand now if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? That's hymn 336 in your hymnal. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning from Mark's gospel, we hear that phrase again, stay awake. But Jesus puts it in many different ways throughout the gospel accounts, that concept, that idea, to be prepared, right? To be prepared for his second coming. He'll say things like, keep alert, stay awake, have oil for your lamps, keep your light burning. This morning, when we think about this idea of being prepared, we've heard this. In fact, it was last year on this very Sunday that we talked about staying awake. This morning, I want to talk about what it means to be prepared. We know we need to be prepared for Jesus' coming, but what does it mean? How can we know we're prepared? It's challenging to consider, but it's more simple than we can even imagine. To be prepared for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is nothing else than to believe. To have faith. We say to have faith in what, Pastor? To have faith that there's nothing at all between you and God. Or between me and God. How's that possible? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we do. But Jesus, Son of God, God Himself, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, laid down His life on a cross for that reason. And His sacrifice was enough. So that there's now nothing between you and God. Or me and God. This is what it means to be prepared, is to have faith in that reality. Consider that you have family coming home for the holidays this holiday season. They're coming, but like some family members, they're not going to tell you what time they're going to show up. Right? You can even send the text or make the call. Say, hey, what time do you guys think you're going to be here? And you get, oh, we'll be there sometime later, probably tonight. You love them, right? So you're not going to push them for their exact ETA. You don't know what time they're going to show up. So what do you do? Well, you make sure everything's right, right? You make sure and tidy up that bathroom and wash those sheets in the guest room and clean, 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 clean. Come on, we've all done it, right? We all do it. We don't know what time they're going to show. And then when they do finally show up, it's cool, right? We're excited. We've gone to all the preparations, made sure everything's so nice. Well, as nice as it can be. Except for that thing. When you see them, you remember the old hurt that stands between you and them. It's been a long, long time, and I guess everything's cool because they came to see us this year. But there's still that kind of rub, right? That old beef, as sometimes it's called, between you and them. And see, when there's that thing in between, it doesn't really matter how hard you scrub. Or how well you wash the sheets they're going to sleep in that night, they still feel a little gritty to them because there's that thing in between you and them. It's amazing how we won't deal with these things. We'll just sort of look them over. We'll let them pass. We'll hope that as time goes along, everything will just get better. When our Lord very clearly teaches us that if anyone sins against us, we should go to them and tell them their fault. That way there can be forgiveness. And those old grudges and those old hurts and those old beefs can go away. See, because if your family member or your friends show up for the holidays and there's no old beef, there's no rub, it wouldn't matter if you lived in the junkyard. They'd just be glad to see you, right? When everything's out of the way, when there's forgiveness shared, when the relationship isn't damaged, that's beautiful and wonderful and a true treasure. Jesus even tells us in Matthew 5, he says, if you've got beef with someone, go reconcile with them and then bring your gift to the altar. It's strange, but this happens and goes on between us and God as well. Right, but we just got done saying that Jesus' cross was enough, that he died for every single one of my sins and every single one of your sins, and that there's nothing that stands between us and God, nothing at all. And in that sense, we should be prepared for his return, to believe that that's the case. Right? That we're saved by grace through faith alone. That Jesus died for us. That like Romans 5 says, now that we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That should be enough. Oh, but there's that old beef. That thing that's still between us and God. See, it's not so much that we don't know as Christians, because I know we do, that all our sins are forgiven. In fact, if you come to church at Trinity, you hear that pretty regularly. That he's forgiven all your sins. But there's another sort of beef that exists, isn't there? Something else that gets between us and God, other than just what we're thinking about when we think about our sins. That other beef. Those are the things that God, or as we see it, that God has done to us. The things that he's allowed to happen in our lives, the people that he's, quote, taken away. The things that have happened that shouldn't have happened. That's our beef. And yeah, that gets in between us and God, too. I mean, I know it's hard to think about. I know it's challenging. But those things are there. Those times when we just don't understand. And bad things and evil things happen in this world. And we confess that our God is in complete control over all things that take place on this earth, because he is. And yet we can't synthesize how God could be in complete control of everything and evil could happen. But the worst part is that when it does, we end up with the beef with God. We blame him. This is a factor of our old nature that we inherited from our first parents. This is because sin is in our nature. That we'll look to God and say, why did you? How could you allow? See the beef. To be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ, to be ready, to stay awake, to keep your oil burning or your lamps lit, or however you want to put it in the scriptures, is to believe that there's nothing, there's no beef between you and God. But we hold on to that one. How could you let this happen? As pastors, we hear this often. And I'm sure as you help your friends and family members, you probably hear it too. Most often, the beef has to do with loss. Most often. And it's not just loss of another person. It's not just when someone passes away. But it's also when we lose property, big material things, businesses, things that are very valuable to us. There's that loss, there's that grief, and quite often it gets turned onto God. How could you? Maybe there's something like that in your mind, in your heart. It also has to do with assumptions of what we think we should have that God's not giving us. Those are also losses to us. They feel like losses. And so why don't you answer my prayer? I asked you for this, God. You tell me in church and in the Bible to pray and you'll give it to me. Ask anything in your name, you say. Why haven't you given me this? And it's like a loss. And those are where the beefs end up coming from. That old hurt. So that when he might show up, there's something between us. This morning, our Lord wants to get rid of that for all of us. Take away anything that might be between you and your relationship with God so that we all may know and be prepared and stay awake and be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. To have faith that we do have peace with God. That everything is right and that there's nothing between us and Jesus. Because the truth is, we kind of blame him. We kind of do. Think about it this way. Jesus, born on Christmas, right? Incarnation, God and man at the same time in one person. He comes to save. Right? We know that. That's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, right? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the very next verse tells us more, John 3:17. You don't usually see that one at the football stadium on the board, right? But 3:17 says, for he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus comes to save. So just for a second, whatever I may think I've lost or didn't get that feels like loss, and whatever you may think you've lost or didn't get that feels like loss, that we might blame God for, just for a second, take Jesus out of the equation. If there is no Savior, if Jesus doesn't come to save, I guarantee you lose. I lose, not just our dear loved one, or our business, or our financial freedom, or whatever you want to put in that category. Without Jesus, I guarantee we lose. But with him, we don't lose. Why? Because that which we think we lost, he went into death. And he caught, and he saved, and he won the victory over sin, death, and the devil, and the pits of hell. He was the one who was there to rescue what we think we lost, who we think we lost, what we might blame God for. He's actually come to save it. How could we turn our gaze upon him and condemn him for it? Jesus comes to save. Our reading from Revelation chapter 1 this morning, it catches an amazing sense. It's the alternate reading for the Old Testament. We read Isaiah 51. The alternate reading was Revelation. And this is what Revelation chapter 1 says in verse 7 about this final day that's coming that we need to be prepared for. It says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. All tribes of earth will wail on account of him. And I thought to myself as I was working on the sermon, wail, huh? Is that because of their sin? Maybe. But I think also, it's because of the immense and incredible joy that's to come. See, we turned against our God when we lost something. When we lost someone, we turned and said, I don't know how you could let this happen, and it's your fault because you're in control. We turned against him. And one day when our Lord Jesus comes back, when every eye sees him, when every tribe of earth will look up, and that which we think we lost and those that we think we lost, they're going to be standing right beside him, safe and sound. Right there. It's no wonder we wail with the joy of our Lord and his salvation, with the things that he has prepared for us for the eternal ages. What have we lost? Not with Jesus. We lose nothing. He came to save, to secure that which we think we lost, and to end, even for us this morning, any beef that we might have with him and anything that might keep us apart from our loving Heavenly Father, from our God. And now, Satan is hushed. And we're at peace, and we're prepared, and we're awake, and we're ready by faith to know that there's nothing between you and him, and that his love and forgiveness is yours, and that all things that he's doing are going to work out to your good according to his promise in Romans chapter 8. It's the relationship that really matters, right? Whether it's the family dropping in for Christmas, or whether it's what might be between you and me and God. May we live every moment in that preparedness and in that belief that everything's right because of Jesus and what he did. And now we're ready. May all God's people be prepared. Use us, Lord, to that end, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life.
We continue now with our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayer this morning is, hear our prayer. O Almighty God, merciful Father, in this present life of sin and suffering, your holy church longs for the return of Christ. Give us grace to make a good confession and strength to stand firm in our faith, ever prepared for his coming, knowing that his cross, his resurrection, his sending of the Holy Spirit, all that he did was enough for us, and that all our sins are forgiven. Lord, even those of questioning you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, bestow strength and steadfastness on your church, on its pastors and its missionaries, especially our synodical president, Matthew Harrison, our district president, James Maxwell, our circuit visitor, Dan Klecki, and all district presidents and circuit visitors, that in these gray and latter days, Lord, your little flock may be nurtured and built up to the praise of Christ, who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O King of glory, Lord of hosts, in humility your only begotten Son stood before governors and kings and was accused unjustly for our sake. Defend the cause of the weak, Lord, and those who have no voice in our society, particularly the unborn, the poor, and the homeless. Give the government of our nation the fortitude to serve its citizens and strive for fairness and justice, that the gospel may have free course and Christian education may continue. Lord, bless our school, our teachers, our staff, all school board members here at Trinity, and Lord, all our schools here in our area. Strengthen the teachers and the staff there, and bless the students and the families. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O God, with all creation, we look in eager expectation toward our final redemption at the revelation of your Son. Until that day, sustain those who live under the cross. Give them patience and hope, and grant healing and aid to all who have need. Especially, we name before you this morning Dan, Carl Keller, Katie and Eric Philly, Connie Poole, Rob Miller, Joyce Austin, Anna, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Hear us, Lord, and draw near to all those in need. Hold them in the arms of your love and defend them against the assaults of the devil. Comfort those who mourn with the hope of that resurrection of the body to eternal life. And give us faith to believe in such crosses. You're working all things for our good. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, it is this coming week that we celebrate Thanksgiving. And Lord God, by your word and spirit, Lord, make us thankful. And also, Lord, make each communicant this morning worthy to receive Christ's own body and blood this day, that they would do so with thanksgiving, with a repentant heart and in faith, not to their judgment, but for their salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to our time for our offering. Our offering hymn this morning that we'll sing as the offerings are collected and presented is hymn 348, The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns. Let's sing. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to our service of the sacrament in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock. ABC.